John 15 tonight. We move on to chapter 15. Remember, here in the Gospel of John, chapters 13 through chapter 17 is Jesus spending time with his disciples there in the upper room just prior to going to Gethsemane and then Calvary, and encouraging them that he's about to leave, and also teaching them some great things, giving them some great promises, as we've already seen in chapter 13 and 14. Tonight, here in the first eight verses of John 15, one of the most important truths for any Christian, and that is, without Jesus, we can do nothing. So important. So let's look at the first eight verses and pray and then study through them together. So it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. So without me, ye can do nothing. Dear Lord, I pray that you'd guide us as we study your word together this evening, that you teach us, Lord, things that would help us to be more faithful servants. And so we ask the Holy Spirit now would be in control of our service. Give us a sweet time in your word and a sweet time of prayer, one with another later. We give you this service and love you in Christ's name. Amen. So this is the 12th and final of the I Ams of John. Remember, we talked about this as we walked through the Gospel of John, that there are 12 I Ams, and it's only found in John. A few of them are found in other of the Gospels, but only the 12 are only found in John. And these are the 12 I Am statements of Jesus Christ, claiming, of course, his deity. The first one we looked at, and most important, was, of course, that he claimed to be the I Am. Of John 8:58, that he is Jehovah. Then we looked at him claiming to be the Messiah, the bread of life, the light of the world, the door, the good shepherd, the Son of God, the resurrection, the life, master and Lord, and the way and the truth. Tonight is the final one as you walk through John, and that is he says that he is the true vine. He said, I am the true vine. Now we'll talk more about this because this whole passage is about fruit bearing, isn't it? And how important it is that we bear fruit for God as his children. Well, we can't bear fruit, as we see, unless we're connected to the vine. And so Jesus Christ is that true vine. If he's the true vine, then that must mean there are false vines, right? And what would be some false vines? Of course, the devil would be a false vine, the world, even ourself. Could be a false vine. We talked about that at family camp. But as I said, this passage, these eight verses, the focus is fruit, bearing fruit for God. And so it starts there in verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So here the Lord's making it clear that he desires fruit in our lives, and that he will be constantly purging us that we may bear more fruit. So what does that mean, Brother Scott, to purge a vine? It means, what do you do to vines? Prune them. Yep, that would be the modern day word, to prune. Now, plants probably don't have feelings like people do, but would you consider it to probably be a bit of a painful process to be pruned as a Christian? It would. And so what Jesus is teaching us here is that it's never going to stop, because we're never where we need to be as a fruit-bearing Christian. So God is just going to keep purging little by little from now until he comes to make us even more fruitful. And why do we purge a vine? Because we have to keep getting rid of the old bits, don't we? So that it can be healthy and be more fruitful next year. And it's the same with us. God is constantly trimming off this stuff that we don't need and that's hindering our Christian life. Sometimes it's not necessarily even sin, but it'll be things that we need removed so that we can be more fruitful for God. Now, if you go to 2 Corinthians 4, God refers to it as light affliction. And of course, from his perspective and from our eternal perspective, it will be light. Oftentimes here on earth, it feels extremely heavy. Notice here, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. I only wrote down verse 17. How does 16 start? What's the first couple words? For the which cause we faint not. Right. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Look at verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So two things he says about our afflictions there. First of all, that they're light. And second of all, they're but for a moment. But remember, these are from God's perspective. I mean, would you call what Job went through light? But it is. And when Job got to heaven, he looked back and he saw it as light in comparison to eternity with the Lord, didn't he? Paul said in Romans 8:18, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So that day will come when we'll look back and say, they weren't as bad as I thought they were, all of these purgings that I went through. But as it says there in 2 Corinthians 4:17, it worketh for us. It's good for us when God brings these afflictions into our lives, because he's purging us or pruning us so that we will be even more fruitful. And as he says there in verse 3 of our passage, the word of God is always part of that process. Notice he says, now you are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. The cleansing power of the word can never be underestimated. And the word has such a cleansing effect in our lives as we read it, as we study it, as we meditate in it. And it's all part of the process of God trying to make us more fruitful. So as we study and read his word, and as he prunes us, what's he trying to do? He's trying to make us more like Jesus. Amen? Romans 8:29, it says that we might be conformed to the image of his Son. He's trying to make us more like Jesus. So verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. So Jesus is making it very clear that we cannot bear fruit outside of him. And yet do we not try all the time to do things in our own strength, to do things in our own wisdom? God says that is absolutely useless fruit. Because if we're doing it outside of through Christ, it's useless. That's what he says. You cannot bear fruit of yourself. That's what it says. You cannot bear fruit of yourself. The root or the vine has to have roots, right? It has to be in the ground. Jesus Christ, of course, is that foundation. So it's our responsibility, and you'll see this word over and over again, to abide. You're going to see this word in this passage. The word fruit and the word abide are the two words that keep showing up in this passage. We cannot bear fruit unless we are abiding in Christ. And as we are abiding in Christ, we will be bearing the fruit God wants us to bear. I want to show you an interesting verse in 1 John chapter 3. Now, we looked at it when we studied through 1 John, but this is an interesting concept. Remember, there's two aspects of our sinfulness, if you will. There is the fact that we've been declared sinless through Christ. Amen? But then there's also the fact that while we're still here on earth, we still sin. So, and when you go through 1 John, you always have to make sure you know the context, because sometimes he talks about us being sinless, and other times he talks about us being sinful. He tells us to confess our sins, and if we say we're not a sinner, we're a liar, and so forth, then you get into other passages that say that we don't sin. And what he's doing is he's comparing the doctrinal with the experiential. And this is another example of that here in 1 John 3. Look what he says in verse 6. Very interesting verse. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Isn't that interesting? So, if we are sinning, are we abiding in Christ? No. We're born again, we're a child of God, we're going to heaven, but we're not abiding in Christ. Because God says if we're abiding in Christ, we don't sin. Just like if we're abiding in Christ, we're bearing fruit. So this abiding is so important. Back to our passage, verse 5. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. So the branches get all of their nourishment, all of their ability to bear fruit. They get everything from the vine, don't they? The branches of themselves can't do anything. They have to be connected to the vine. Just like we have to be abiding in Christ. He that abideth, so here's this word again. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Do you think it's God's will that we bear fruit? I like this, the progression in this passage too. He starts off by saying, verse 2, more fruit. But now in verse 5, he says, much fruit. So when we're first born again, we're bearing some fruit. But as God continues to purge, we eventually get to where we're bearing more fruit. Or much fruit, sorry. And that's what he wants from us, is that we bear much fruit. So what is the fruit of the Spirit? I hope you all have that memorized, those nine things in Galatians 5. If you do, let's say them together. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Actually, yeah, that is nine. So that's the fruit of the Spirit. But the Spirit and Jesus are both God, right? So, does the Bible say that we're to be filled with the Spirit? Yep. Does it say we're to be led by the Spirit? Yielded to the Spirit? So that's what Jesus is saying. If you abide in me, and I abide in you, you will bring forth much fruit. And then this most important saying here in verse 5, without me, you can do nothing. That's our title this evening. Without me, you can do nothing. And we talked a lot about this at family camps. I'm not going to reiterate it, but we're not to be trusting in ourselves, are we? Paul said, Philippians 3:3, have no confidence in the flesh. That we're not to be trusting in our wisdom, trusting in our strength. Without Christ, we can do nothing. Jeremiah 17, we looked at that verse, family camp. Cursed is the man that trusteth in man. We cannot trust ourselves, our own wisdom, our own strength. We can't even trust our hearts, because they're deceitful and wicked, aren't they? So we must trust Jesus Christ before we can accomplish anything. We must learn to live that our lives that way by abiding in him. And as we'll see, his word is part of that too. It not only cleanses us, but it's part of how we are able to accomplish what he wants us to. But let's look at Galatians 2:20, where Paul, and I know most of you know this verse, but Paul talks about the life that he lives now that he's saved, and he explains that that now life is not really his life. It's God's life. And that's the perspective we need to have. It's like a branch of the vine saying, well, you know, that vine is great, but I want to be my own branch. I want to go out on my own and strike out and do things on my own. And the vine says, can't. If you break off, that's it. you'll accomplish absolutely nothing. You won't bear any fruit. And yet so many Christians want to do that. They want to go off and do it on their own. Like Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But look what it says. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So he's saying, now my life is God's life. Now my life is God living through me so that I can bear fruit. And most of us know Philippians 4:13 as well, right? I can do all things. Next two words. Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So without me, he says, you can do nothing. So verse 7, if ye abide in me, there's that word again. I haven't counted them, but the word abide or abideth shows up a lot in this passage. If ye abide in me and my words, so now the word is involved again, and my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will. So now he's even talking about our prayers. So not only our fruitfulness, but the effectiveness of our prayer life is dependent upon whether or not we're abiding and whether or not his word is abiding in us. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. That's a great statement, isn't it? Ask what you will. So if we're abiding in him and his word is abiding in us, that's a beautiful prerequisite, as he says here, to answered prayer, because we're now going to be sensitive to his will in our lives. And like he says, if you ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. But the abiding has to be taking place. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul talked about it from his own life's perspective here in 1 Thessalonians 1:5. We're not here to serve in our own strength. We're not here to serve in our own wisdom. We're here to serve in his strength and his wisdom and his leading. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Power and in the Holy Ghost. He says, our gospel, when we came and witnessed to you and planted a church there at Thessalonica, it was in the power and it was in the Holy Ghost. And that's what God wants from all of us, that we abide in him, that we abide in the Holy Spirit, and that his God's word abides in us. And we all know there's that memorization thing again, just can't get away from it. That word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee, right? Psalm 119:11. So God's will, and he says, we'll finish in verse 8 of our passage, John 15, that if we're going to be a true disciple of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to what? Bear much fruit. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. So I haven't counted them, but the word fruit and abide show up a lot in this passage. And what God is saying is, if we're not abiding in him, and he and his word are not abiding in us, we will not bear fruit. But it's his will that we don't just bear more fruit, but as we see in verse 8, that we bear much fruit. God wants us to be very fruitful Christians. But without him, we can do nothing. We will not bear any fruit outside of Christ. We might bear some false fruit and some rotten fruit, but it's worth nothing. But if we're going to bear fruit that God wants and loves, then we're going to have to do it by abiding in Christ and by he and his word abiding in us. Because without Christ, as he says in this beautiful passage, we can do absolutely nothing. So just think about those three things. Abide and fruit. And that without Jesus, we can do nothing. We can just remember those three things as he makes this beautiful last I am statement, the true vine, and we are the branches, and without him we can do nothing.